What's up, homeschoolers? Welcome back to A Heart for Homeschool podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Price, and I want to wish you a happy new year. I know, it's almost the end of January, so it's kind of a day late and a dollar short, but it is what it is. If my delay with a podcast in the new year is any indication, I usually am slow in picking up steam, getting back into the routine of all the many things I juggle prior to the holidays. For us, everything shuts down during the holidays, and it's time for family, reflection, and much-needed rest. It can be hard to regain our fall momentum, but over our 8 years of homeschooling, I've developed some strategies to make the transition easier. In this episode, I'm going to give you 3 strategies that have helped us to get refocused, re-energized, and re-engaged with homeschooling after the holidays. Now, my first strategy explains why it's almost the end of January and I am just releasing a new podcast episode for the new year. One way we transition back into homeschooling is by focusing solely on our daily homeschool routines without any outside distractions. That means for the first few weeks after the holiday break, we focus on homeschool, sans extracurriculars like co-op, 4-H, sports activities, and all the rest. It usually works out well for us as many of these activities don't really get started up immediately following the holidays, and I've found that it helps us to mentally make learning a priority so that when we do get re-engaged with outside activities, they don't take away from what we're already doing. Instead, they are welcome additions. In the past, when everything hits us all at once, homeschool and all the activities, it's been a challenge for us to be consistent in our homeschool. It feels like we're just going through the motions of doing all these different activities, but we're not truly mentally plugged in. So our daily homeschool routines actually help to mentally ground us. The second strategy that I want to share with you that has been so helpful to me personally is one word. One word rather than having New Year's resolutions. Early on in like the first or second year of homeschooling, I discovered this book by pastor and author Mike Ashcroft called One Word. And the idea really took a lot of pressure off of me when it came to my anxiety around homeschooling. I am notorious for pushing really hard in the fall to maintain schedules and routines and reach these arbitrary milestones that I set for myself. But after the holidays, I tend to lose steam and struggle with all that I've decided to take on. So just to explain what one word is, it's the idea of shifting your focus to one area of improvement, kind of like a theme or overarching goal to focus on, rather than setting a whole bunch of resolutions that I honestly never keep. Maybe it's a mental thing, but the idea of having one word has given me permission to relax, especially my early years of homeschooling when I had to really de-school from trying to recreate public school at home and then failing at it because it just didn't work for us. It also helped me to begin to celebrate the small victories and keep the main thing, as they say. My first year of homeschooling, my one word was baseline. I wanted to get a baseline of what homeschooling was going to look like for us, and I wanted to quickly establish what worked for us and what didn't work before I began bringing in a whole lot of outside activities. The first year of homeschooling was really about me and the kids getting used to being around each other 99% of the time and figuring out what our family dynamics were going to be like. And trust me, our getting used to homeschooling is fodder for a totally separate podcast episode. So that first year was all about discovering what homeschool looked like for us, what curriculums worked and didn't work, getting up the courage to join a local homeschool co-op, and just enjoying spending time together. We also were in the midst of moving to a different area in Texas, and it just became really convenient to not get too tied down to too many outside activities, only to have to cut them out because we were moving. The second year of homeschooling, my one word was socialization. We had developed a mostly solid homeschool routine, and it was time to get the kids involved in all the activities I'd held off on that really helped us to get connected to our local homeschool community. I swallowed my fears about us joining a homeschool co-op, and I'm so glad we did. While some of my fears were realized, overall, co-op was a breath of fresh air and we all benefited greatly. The kids also got involved in the local recreational soccer league where we live, and that outlet was icing on the cake to our homeschool lifestyle. Other words from other years have been consistency, focus, and service, which you can read about on my blog post titled Transitioning Back to Homeschooling After the Holidays, listed in the links to this podcast. Fast forward to now, 2022, and this year, my one word is more like one phrase, finish strong. This spring, I will graduate my oldest from homeschool, and there has been so much to work through this year as she prepares for college, from college applications to taking the ACT, which was delayed for us due to the COVID pandemic, scholarship applications, the FAFSA, college tours, and just trying to get everything in order for her. I will most definitely be sharing some things I've learned along the way in a future episode, so stay tuned for that. Finish strong is also an apt phrase because I want to keep my other three kids progressing and all that they are endeavoring to do as well, while pushing forward with my own pursuits like this podcast. Last but not least, my third strategy to help with gaining momentum after the holidays is creating vision boards. There are a lot of benefits to creating vision boards for the new year. And having your children create vision boards is a way for them to really begin to focus in on their goals as well. I would describe a vision board as like a poster of pictures that features your goals or what you hope to accomplish in a creative pictorial format. For example, I created a vision board for myself this year, and on it I included a picture of a mortarboard and diploma to represent my goal to graduate my oldest from high school. Likewise, my second oldest, who loves to bake and will be competing in our local 4-H youth fair, has a cupcake and a cookie on her vision board to represent her goal of winning the cake decorating competition and the homemade cookie competition. So these are just examples of things that you can do with your vision board. Vision boards are creative, they're eye-catching, but they also serve a number of other benefits. For example, vision boards help you and your kids set plans to accomplish the goals you've set. It really helps you to think about what it will take to accomplish a goal. Maybe accomplishing a particular goal means signing up for a class or taking some time to practice certain skills. Maybe accomplishing certain goals means putting some other goals on the back burner or cutting out some activities that take time and energy away from what you really want to accomplish. A vision board can immediately provide you and your child with realistic ideas of what certain desires they have and how to strike a healthy balance in what they're pursuing versus what they want to accomplish. In this way, vision boards help them and you decide what you may need to change or what adjustments you may need to make in order to ultimately accomplish your goals. Vision boards also give kids more of a sense of control over their futures. This is especially important as our kids get older and they are moving from preteens to teens and from teens to young adults. It's a great step to encourage them to take ownership of their learning and the experiences that they pursue. And last but not least, vision boards foster conversations between you and your kids about what they enjoy doing, what they want to not do so much of, and where they see themselves going. These kind of discussions can save a lot of time, energy, and money. Just to give an example of that, a discussion of my oldest daughter's goals was she was taking piano and she was really good at it, but she wanted to focus in on her schoolwork, especially her junior and senior year, because that was more important to her. And she recognized that although she was good at playing the piano, it was going to take away the time and energy she put into piano was going to take away from her ultimate goal of trying to get her science classes and math classes and things that she needed to go to college to become a veterinarian or pursue going to college and majoring in animal science. And so she cut that out, and she occasionally still plays, but it's more like a hobby and something that she's not as intent on right now, but maybe down the road when she has time, she'll pick it up again. this is an example of how a vision board can really help kids to, or teens, to focus in on what's important to them and really target their goals and aspirations. We're at the end of this podcast episode, but I want to invite you to check out my A Heart for Homeschool Instagram account, where you can check out the vision board I created with the Black Family Homeschool Educators and Scholars New Year's Festival of Ideas. I created a digital vision board by modifying an easy-to-use vision board template in Canva. And I love Canva, and their vision board templates are just another reason why. Be sure and check those out on Instagram, and stay tuned for our next episode.